Hey there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey, we all know we talk about chronic pain, acute pain in the exam room, but how to the listeners do you talk about it and try to get the buy-in from the pet owner's perspective? So, and convincing them even better. So I can't think of anybody else joining me to chat about this conversation with the one and only Dr. Michael Petty. How's it going, my friend?
Great. And it's great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I know I didn't get a chance to say hi to you because of all the chaos that was at, you know, DMX and WBC, but I saw him like far away. I was like, I see him.
Right.
Oh, so to the listeners, if you don't know who our friend is, Dr. Petty is a 1980 graduate of the veterinary school at Michigan State University as the owner of Arbor Point Veterinary Hospital and the Animal Pain Center in Canton, Michigan. He's devoted his professional life to the care and well-being of animals, especially in the area of pain management. He's the past president of the International Veterinary Academy of Pain Management, a frequent speaker and consultant, and he has published articles in many veterinary journals and serves as an advisory capacity to several pharmaceutical companies on topics of pain management. He was also an elite speaker for Pfizer Animal Health at the time during the life of that program. He's been the investigator and a veterinarian in over 12 FDA pilots and pivotal studies for pain management products. And he is an international, well-renowned and respected leader in pain management topics. And we're so delighted to have him join us. By the way, thank you for all the great work that you do in our profession.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's, you know, it doesn't seem like work when you're helping with pain. And for the past year, I forgot to tell you, I'm on the Global Pain Council of the World Small Animal Veterinary Association. So wow. I'm now getting to reach people on a more global scale. I lectured in Portugal last September, and I get to go lecture in China this coming September. So really exciting stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. So glad. The more people that we can educate about pain management, the better off our profession is. So, let's chat about a very simple question. Like, why does pain affect the behavior of an animal?
So there is a physiologic reason for that. In the brain, the emotional and the pain centers are both adjacent to one another in the limbic system of the brain. So this really close proximity is why in our own lives, when we hurt ourselves, you know, we usually feel anger or fear right away. And then, you know, an hour later, feel remorse by, you know, why was I careless? Why did I do that? I should have paid attention to how I was holding that knife, and a lot of self-recrimination. So, you know, the same thing kind of goes on with animals. I don't know if they self-recriminate, but they certainly, when something hurts, both acutely and chronically. Acutely, there's often a anger reaction, but chronically, it affects the emotion, depression, and so forth. And there's some good examples of this on the human side. A study done at University of Michigan by a Dr. Glass, I think it was, did a study on people with you know, chronic muscle pain and fibromyalgia, and she actually coined the term fibrofog. These people walk around in a fog all the time, really hard to concentrate. So we need to think about that when we have our patients come in and they seem distracted. Maybe pain's the reason. But you know, the other reason that it affects behavior is that, think about it, if something causes pain, you're going to avoid that action. I'll give you an example. You know, if we have, if a dog has arthritis and it wants to be with the owners, but it has to walk across the slippery floor to get to them, you know, it's not going to do it. And the owners sometimes interpret this as antisocial behavior, but really the dog just can't be with them because they've got to walk across that wood floor.
Yeah, it's so sad to see that too. They want to do it. The will is there, but they're hurting and something else is going on. And it's interesting when we talk about the aging animal with pain, because I think pet owners' perspective tends to be, well, age, they're just getting old, but we understand obviously that age isn't a disease. And I think, do you think that the pendulum has shifted in terms of the pet parents' perspective on that, knowing that animals experience pain and when they're getting older, there is, to your point, arthritis and other ailments?
I tell you, the pendulum is very, very slow to swing that way, both in professionals and in, you know, the caregivers of animals. It's no one wants to think that they're in pain, that their pet is in pain. And so they often write this stuff off as, oh, yeah, my dog is old. My dog is just, you know, fill in the blank. And, you know, and as veterinarians, if the owner doesn't bring it up to us, and these days everyone's got a tight, tight schedule, maybe it's at the back of your mind and maybe it isn't, but, you know, you might have a tendency to not really ignore that behavior, or you might have a tendency to ignore the behavior, or, you know, ignore some of the subtle signs, or even take the time to do a proper pain exam on a dog that might need it. For example, you know, a dog that's prone to hip dysplasia, a breed like a golden doodle, and the dog's 6 years old, time to like take a look.
Yeah. And we were just talking earlier about behavior and pain. So do we know how prevalent the pain and behavior interaction really is?
Yeah. It was actually astounding. There was a paper published in 2020, and it was by a UK author, someone from the United Kingdom, a veterinarian named Dr. Mills. And it's called Problem Behavior in Cats and Dogs. It's a free online access paper if you want to look it up. They looked at a bunch of different behavioral issues relating it to pain. They found up to 82% of all behavior problems have their basis in pain. 82%.
That's really high. Wow. So what are some examples in cats?
I think the big one I always see in my practice is people call up and say, you know, my cat's peeing out the litter box. I think he has an infection. Can I get antibiotics? And of course, the answer is always no. We have to confirm it. And we do have to rule out a bladder infection, because bladder infections are a big reason. Crystalluria is a big reason, any kind of lower urinary tract disease. But if those things are negative, and then saying, okay, it's not an infection, therefore we're going to put your cat on, you know, Prozac, that's not going to really fix it. It's not addressing the underlying issue of pain. You know, and the pain, so the reason that pain might be causing this is it makes it hard for the cat to use a litter box, because maybe they've got one of these litter boxes with really high sides to it, or a little opening the cats to go through. Also, some cats find it really hard to walk on the litter. You know, imagine if you've had a sore knee. I've got an arthritic knee. And if I go walking on the beach, I love walking on the beach, but it's hard, you know, walking on something that shifts under your weight. And then the other thing is, a lot of people, they don't want to see the litter box. They don't want to smell the litter box. They put it in the farthest corner of the house. Sometimes that means down in the basement, and the cat can't use the stairs. Maybe you can go down the stairs, but it has trouble getting up, and it just becomes reluctant. It's like way easier for me to just, you know, pee right here. So I think other behaviors, reluctance to groom is one. All of a sudden cats get older and they start to look kind of ratty looking with their fur, because they can't twist around to groom, at least not as well as they used to. Some of them don't want to play. And another big one is, you know, they don't want to hang out in their favorite spots. And that's often a question I say, what is your cat like to do 3-4 years ago that it doesn't do any longer? And that can be real eye-opening.
Yeah. Yeah, even like not wanting to climb in the cat trees or in their typical little hangouts within the tree or their nook. They're really telling signs that like something might be up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or hanging out on a windowsill to watch the birds go by. I mean, that's as a friend of mine said, that's the cat's version of Netflix, calls it Nestflix. And they like to watch the birds.
Yeah, those are retirement goals right there.
Yeah.
And what about dogs?
So dogs, I kind of already gave that example of social distancing, you know, because of the slippery floors. Again, like cats, a disinterest in playing favorite games or wanting to go on walks, but wanting to go on a walk, but then, you know, three houses down, wanting to stop, sit or turn around. I had... early in my career, when I was doing a pain case for a pain certification, I had this case of an older dog that was having trouble walking around. The owner described all the issues, hadn't described any behavioral problems. And, you know, we found the dog had hip dysplasia. We treated it appropriately. The dog started doing better. And he said, you know, by the way, my dog was always growling whenever the other dogs came near it, and now he doesn't. Now he wants to be with them. And I kind of thought about this, you know, if you've ever had like a injured wrist or elbow or shoulder, and someone wanted to shake your hand, you don't want to, right? Because you know how to move your arm. You don't, you know, you can place it so it doesn't hurt. But if someone grabs your arm, it can drop you to your knees if they twist it wrong. So if you were a dog, you'd growl at them too if they wanted to shake your hand.
Yeah, those are great points. And, you know, we talk a lot about chronic pain, and I think sometimes we might get tunnel vision thinking that it's just osteoarthritis, but are there other things that are out there when we are talking about chronic pain?
Yeah, so osteoarthritis is the real biggie, and, you know, that occupies our mind, and I even fall into that trap of, like, the dog's acting painful, it must be osteoarthritis, but there's other things. You know, I think one really good example is inflammatory bowel disease. It is a known fact that inflammatory bowel disease can cause restlessness. Sometimes it's the cause of these dogs that get up and do night walking, where they just can't sleep and they're restless, and cognitive issues like confusion. Another example is any kind of central or peripheral nervous system disease, that can cause tingling, and self-mutilation can be a result of that. And probably a third example is any kind of dermatologic condition. You know, ear infections are incredibly painful and can cause signs, and chronic ear infections can cause chronic signs. And itchy skin, I mean, you know, like atopy, it can cause itching behaviors. But again, self-mutilation and just general irritability and aggression can be a problem. So that's kind of the long answer. The short answer, I think, is wherever we see pain, there probably is some behavior associated with it. There isn't always pain with a behavioral issue, but there's almost always a behavioral issue with pain.
And let's talk about the veterinary staff and how they can recognize the behavioral issues. So how does the veterinary staff know when behavioral issues are secondary to pain?
Yeah, there's no really good, easy way to know. Whenever a client brings up a behavioral issue or we see one, I think we just have to keep that in the forefront of our mind that, you know, the prevalence of behavioral issues, they have their foundation of pain. Pain must be your number one rule out before moving forward with trying to treat the issue with drugs like fluoxetine or trazodone or whatever your favorite thing might be. We have to remember that behaviors associated with pain are often an appropriate reaction to the pain condition. So if we try to treat these unwanted behaviors without treating the pain, you know, it's doomed to failure. And if it's unsuccessful, it's frustrating for you. It's frustrating for the owner. It's money poorly spent, time poorly lost, and you, the caregiver, and the animal in pain all suffer as a result of it.
Yeah. And I know we chatted earlier to the listeners out there, we're chatting about convincing the owner about that their dog or cat has chronic pain, but I feel like it's more educating the owner. So what are your thoughts on that?
It is educating the owner. And, you know, I think that one of the things I said earlier is a really good point to bring up with them. And it doesn't even have to be like, I suspect pain. When I have older dogs come in, I say, how's their behavior changed compared to when they were younger? What was their favorite games, and do they still play them or have they moved on? And, you know, that is sometimes the first hint that we get. And then we can have a discussion about, oh, is there any other thing that's going on? And, you know, sometimes it's kind of funny, you know, that, you know, my receptionist pointed out a really good example of one of the things that she does is she listens to what is going on and how these appointments are made and what the people are saying. She had someone come call in and say, I need to get my dog a rabies vaccine. So, you know, she said, okay, how about 10 a.m. next Tuesday? And the owner said, oh yeah, I can't do that. My dog, I need help to get my dog in the car. Can't get in the dog car by itself. You know, he's just too old. I need to wait till my husband's home. It has to be after 3. And, you know, so again, trying to point out those kinds of changes of behavior to the owner is really important to understand that, no, your dog is not just old. Your dog is not just fat. Your dog is not just lazy. There is something going on.
Yeah. Shout out to your receptionist for picking that up. I think that's fantastic. You know, that's
right.
I know you'll be interested to know.
If I can say one more thing, I have this little team approach, and I always say the receptionist is actually the most important, but usually the most underpaid person in your practice, because they are the gatekeeper. And if they're earning minimum wage, they don't care, right? They'd have to be a saint to really like put their heart and soul into their job if they are only earning minimum wage. But they are the ones that can really set the course of how this animal's going to be treated and get the first clues, even sometimes by watching a dog limp across the parking lot and then come in the front door and they're no longer limping because it's at the vet and it's time to pretend everything's okay and time to go home. So yeah, receptionists are important.
Yeah, shout out to the CSRs out there tuning in. Thank you for all the great work you're doing too. Certainly fantastic. Well, this is wonderful, Dr. Petty. I just want to give you a special shout out because to the listeners, if you haven't sat in on any of his sessions at the live conferences, I strongly recommend it. I mean, we're always learning. It's what CE is all about, but I'm always learning new things from your sessions, Dr. Petty, and you break things down very well. It's a gift, honestly. Not everyone can do that, and you make it very digestible to understand. So I just want to give a big shout out to the listeners. Please check out his sessions throughout the country because they really are worth listening and learning from. So thank you.
Yes, and I'm going to be in Kansas City, Atlantic City, and Long Beach this year. So I'll look for you. Come and say hi.
I love it. Where can they find out more information about you?
Right now, I'm actually working on another website and I don't have it up yet, but maybe I'll be able to share that at a later point. So,
well, we'll put everything in the show notes, and he is a faculty speaker here at Fetch too. So we'll be able to connect you if you have any questions to our listeners as well. So Dr. Mike Petty, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please rate this podcast. This one's worth saving for, and share this one with your team as well so everyone can learn from this one. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.